let's get on into it. We're in this section we call Living in the Supernatural. And we're talking today with the subject, Understanding the Supernatural. Understanding the Supernatural. You gotta understand it, because God does not bless beyond your mental capacity. He involves your mind in it. If you look at the seven aspects of the anointing over in Isaiah 11 and 2, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, so forth, four of those are having to do with your mind. So a lot of times, especially in Word of Faith, we put our mind somewhere on the shelf and call it all spirit. That is not the way it happens in here. You will prosper as your what? Soul prospers. And as I teach these things, realize it's according to your faith. Some people have enough faith to be a millionaire in a month. Hey, so be it. Wonderful. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about living in the supernatural. Basically, we're living on the level of the eternal. And the eternal says, I'm living on the level of my spirit. And if you notice anything about your spirit, spiritual, natural things are controlled by the more powerful world of the spirit. How many of you know that? Yeah. Jesus said, my words, John 6:63, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and he spoke to it. And he released words. Now, words are spirit. And notice what happened. The natural circumstances obeyed him, because he was operating from a higher place, a higher dominion or dimension. And so this living in the supernatural is something that the earth is crying out for. The Bible says that God blessed Adam. This is found in, put it up there, please. It's found in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon this earth. So Adam had dominion over all the earth, everything. So he had dominion. He had rulership over it, authority over it. And God blessed him. That blessing is not God communicating with Adam. It's God transferring power. So he blessed it and said to him, okay? He was transferring power when he did that. So now Adam's functioning all this power, but now here comes the devil. And he comes, seduces Adam. And then Adam listens and Eve eats of this tree that was forbidden, and Adam eats of it. Next thing you know, Adam and Eve go and hide themselves, running from God. They were fearful. Fearful was not manifested in them before this happened. And the next thing you know is God called out to Adam, where art thou? And he wasn't asking him about his location. He was asking him about his position, because he had lost the headship. But now God got it back for him. Matter of fact, God began to now speak this same dominion, because now Satan was at the top, and now things, mankind was under Satan. But now God never planned it to be that way, because God had given man dominion over all the works of his hands. And angels, which Satan is a fallen angel, are the works of God's hands. But once mankind sinned, he came under this demonic angelic being, and now is being subject to him and under the control of him. And the enemy, Satan, is using mankind to build for him, to put up a system out here called Babylon that is not the system of God at all. It's a system that they're trying to keep God out of. Now, here comes God back again. He comes back and speaks it through Noah. And look at Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah, here you go again, and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So now God is putting this blessing back in the earth. And then he comes, and a man named Nimrod was raised up who was against God, and he was the first king against God, and he had people following him, and we call it Babylon, or Babylonian system. And this is that system that people, we get all our isms from, communism and socialism and capitalism. We get a lot of our isms from that. And so now what we're saying is that this Jesus is now coming soon. Jesus, hundreds of years later, thousands of years really, but Jesus is on his way. He's going to come back because God is setting it up so that he gets his son back in the earth. And so he finds a man named Abraham, and he gets him and says, hey, you know, I want you to follow me, and I will bless you, I'll make your name great. And by the way, you'll be a blessing. So the way that you're gonna operate for me is that you're gonna meet the needs of other people. And I'll make sure you have enough to do it and enough to bless you. Say amen to that. And so as God now is working through this man, Abraham left and departed. Let's go over there, please. Genesis chapter 12. And let's just look at this. And over in Genesis chapter 12, he said in verse 1, and the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I'll show you, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless you, I'll curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now notice what he did. He left as God has spoken unto him. Now he didn't know where he was going, didn't have any brochure, didn't have any maps or anything like that. He's just following God. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give all this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on his west and Ai on his east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now, why did he go on still toward the south? Because where he went didn't look like Eden to him. It didn't look like anything he wanted to live in. But now God has to teach Abraham that what's on his life is the blessing. And the blessing is designed to replenish the earth. To replenish the earth. You see, after man sinned, the earth is wearing out now. It's wearing out. But now God's given man the power to fix a planet that is wearing through the ages. And that same ability and power is able to fix us. It's able to do things for us. Now, I'm saying that Abraham was going to have to use his faith to make this land like it's supposed to be. Keep something right there, if you will. And let's turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Look at verse 1. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewed, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your who? Father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Wow. For the Lord shall comfort who? Zion. Zion, symbolic of the church. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like where? Eden. And her desert like where? The garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So notice what God is doing with the blessing. The blessing is so powerful that that blessing can come into the worst situation that you can have and turn it into a garden of Eden. Say amen to that. Amen. It can take the hardest place that you can find whether it's economically, whether it's socially, whether it doesn't make any difference. And it'll turn it into the Garden of Eden, because that blessing is passing on to man the same power God used to create this whole thing. Glory to God. Didn't get many amens, but that's a powerful statement right there. So the blessing can come into your business and turn it all around. The blessing can come into your house and turn it all around. The blessing, the blessing, the blessing. So this blessing was something that the enemy was trying to get out of mankind, keep mankind from operating in this blessing, because it doesn't operate except by faith. God does things by faith. Look at Abraham. Come back over here to Genesis again. And Genesis chapter 13, look what happened here. Verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks, herds, and tents. Now, Abraham was blessed in verse 2 with cattle, silver, and gold. Notice he had cattle, silver, and gold. Notice Lot had what? Flocks, herds, and tents. Cattle, silver, and gold. Flocks, herds, and tents. You got that? All right. Everything that was pedigree went to the blessing person. And as Lot followed him, he got the spillover. So some folk get blessed just because they're following you. Got it? Look what it said in verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee. Now, if you'll take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if you'll depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. When Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered and everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. I'll stop right there. Now, why did Lot choose that land? Because it looked good. Well, what did Abraham say to relieve the strife between them? He said, just choose what you want. If you take the right hand, I'll take the left. If you take the left hand, come on, I'll take the right. Now, why could he say that? Because he had the blessing. It didn't make any difference where you end up when you got the blessing. It makes no difference. Wherever you go, that place is going to be blessed. If you start releasing the blessing, start speaking the blessing over that place, start declaring the blessing, you're not coming into a community to curse anybody. You see a crack house there, you say to that house, you are blessed. Now you're calling down heaven upon the earth. And whatever's in there that's not supposed to be in there is going to get out. See, that's the authority that you carry as a believer. Say amen to that. So the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So I wanted to just show you that. Well, you know, the land that Lot chose, what did it turn out to be? Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice the Canaanites were in there. Canaanites, spiritual perversion. Notice they were in there. And notice it turned out that that was the most perverted place that it could, to the point that God said, hey, shall I hold back from Abraham what I'm about to do to this place? So he had to go in there and get Lot out of there. Say amen to that. Amen. So it tells me that all your relatives that's in a bad place, God's going to get them out of there before he takes that place out. So what am I saying? In the blessing here, if you come all the way over here to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 24, please, if you got it, have it. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Now look at some of the blessings, because it's a material blessing on Abraham. And some of the people who are in churches, you know, and preach it, well, it's a spiritual blessing, praise the Lord. No. The blessing of Abraham was material. He was not a spiritual man. We got our spiritual part through Jesus. We got the material part through Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. Just like God blessed him, he's going to bless you. Look at verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. This is Eleazar. Verse 35, and the Lord had blessed my master how? greatly. And he has become great, and has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses and so forth and so on. Hey, I look at that and I say, he's gonna bless me the same way. I don't have no camels today, but I do have some airplanes. I don't have any, come on now, I don't have any, the gold and the silver, I need some banks to put it in. Come on now. I'm just saying, God's gonna bless you the same way he blessed Abraham. Say amen, because the same blessing is on you. So what I said is that you and I have been born again. We've been born again as eagles in a chicken yard, but you're not a chicken. You need to get your right identity. And I said that your name is God Jr. So as you go here and look at this, God is no longer looking at you and I as victims, because if you know who you are and you walk into a place that Satan knows you know who you are, and that God wants to do things through you that will take the enemy and this territories that Satan has established and has now his kingdom illegally possesses, God is sending you to dispossess him. Ooh, boy, that's a mouthful. God is sending you to dispossess him, whether it's on property or people. He is got to go. And the blessing is more powerful today than it was even in the garden. Because when God restores things, he restores things better than he did at the first. And he's restored the blessing to mankind. And even the garden represented the worst condition man was going to be in. Because God says, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above, come on, all that you can ask or think. So I'm saying with you and I, as we meet together in a congregation, if we really know who we are, then miracles should break out. Miracles should be here. Why? Because it's not that somebody lay hands on you. It's just the glory. The glory comes in. What does the glory represent? It represents the atmosphere of heaven. And in heaven's atmosphere, no sickness is allowed. So the miraculous should become normal. Glory to God. And we should walk in the supernatural every day. Glory to God. That's good preaching right there. Now, where we got down to is Jesus. He said, pray thy kingdom come and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God plans for this earth to still be like heaven. When you see poverty, how he had the blessing to eradicate poverty and not only dismantle the poverty, but dismantle the system that got it there. That's systemic poverty and the things that keep it there and hold it there. All right. So we went on to the God factor, the God factor. Now this was kind of getting kind of deep here, praise God. In the God factor, we said that we have to make sure that we include God in whatever we do or whatever's going on in our lives. Now we talked about last Sunday, because it was Resurrection Sunday, we talked about the resurrection, and we talked about actually the Word of God has resurrection power. Now let's go over and look at that again. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. And over in Romans chapter 8, he says here in verse 11, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive, restore life to your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the word replenish means to perpetually renew and supply. And when that blessing is working and the replenishing is going on in people's lives, in the Old Testament, they lived a whole lot longer. And what we saw is that Jacob, and the Bible talked about him coming down to Pharaoh. Let's go back there one more time, please. Genesis chapter 47. In Genesis chapter 47, it says here, when Joseph had brought his dad Jacob down to Pharaoh, it says here in verse 7, let's start there, pick it up there. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old are you? Now, obviously he asked him that for a reason. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Now, who were his fathers? Abraham and Isaac. So Isaac was his dad, and Isaac lived 160 years. Abraham was his granddad, and Abraham lived 175 years. Now, what is happening here? So as we see this, we see that something happened that is trying to cut Jacob's life short. And I submit to you, one of the things that had happened is that he began to grieve about the loss of his son, Joseph. He actually thought that Joseph was dead. But how many of you know he wasn't dead? What had happened is the brothers had gotten jealous of him and sold him as a slave to a traveling band of Ishmaelites going to Egypt. And Joseph wasn't dead at all. He was just being planted. Now, he has been grieving. And grief and faith come from two different sources. Got it? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, Jesus took our grief. And he took your grief because grief spirit will try to work its way into your life, because grief means loss. And the spirit is designed to come in and cause loss. Remember when the man who was the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments, do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. He said, all that have I done from my youth. He said, well, one thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me. And the Bible says the man was sad at that saying, for he was grieved and went away. Now, my point to you is, notice he saw loss coming. And grief is a sign of loss. The Bible says we as Christians are not a people without hope. Because when we leave the earth, the Bible doesn't call us dying, it calls us falling asleep. And when you do fall asleep, you just check out of the body you're in. And to be absent from the body, come on, is to be present with the Lord. Well, why should I grieve and you just as alive as me? Say amen. So I'm telling you, grief, if allowed, will not only try to take your life if it's lasting, but it will also try to move through a family and take that out. So you've got to understand, I cry about my loved ones. I thank God. I said, Lord, thank you. My loved ones were with me. Maybe I cry because they're not there anymore, but I don't get into lasting grief. Say amen to that. If I do get into lasting grief, I can open the door to some things. And look at Jacob's life. Look at what it did to him. It's trying to cut him short. And he was embarrassed to even tell how old he was because he hadn't lived as long as his parents had lived. Say amen to that. So my point to you is I'm not being insensitive. I just want you to know that there are principles in here that call for a supernatural lifestyle that if you violate those, you can open yourself up to a curse that's never intended to come into you and your family. You better hear what I'm telling you. Now, I know it's hard, but it's fair. And you got to understand, you love those people, they love you, but if they say they're just as alive as you are. The only thing about it, they don't have a body like you have anymore, and because you don't have a body in the earth, you got to leave it. But you'll see them again, they're looking down at you right now. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says they're a crowd of witnesses. They're looking down at you right now. And you look in that casket, those are called remains. That was a house that that person had when they lived here. But now they're moving into a big house. Now you hear what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to minimize sometimes the pain of losing a loved one. Cry and get it over with. My point to you is you got to keep living down here because you're still going to be held accountable for the life that you live while you're here, and you're going to get the rewards for that life. I know some people don't want to hear this. You need to hear this. If you don't want to hear it, you need to hear it because that spirit of grief is trying to get a hold of your life, and he don't like me telling you what I'm telling you right now. So, what am I telling you? I'm saying that Jesus came to the gravesite of Lazarus. And when they came and told Jesus, the one who you love is sick. In other words, they were panic-stricken. They were fearful of something going to happen to him. And when they said all of that, the next thing you know is Jesus said, say it right there, 2 more days. Didn't even move. Didn't even move as well as he knew that man. Didn't move. Why? Because you got to move in the timing of God. If you go back and look at the previous chapter, you'll see that Pharisees and them were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him. They were trying to do away with his life. So sometimes the enemy, God has you to move in his pace. He has you to go the long way around. He has you to do things that are not quite understanding to your mind. But your job is to hear God and obey what he says do. And so as a result of that, Jesus comes there. And then when he comes, one of them came, Martha, Mary came and said, hey, if you had only been here earlier, he would not have died. Jesus said, your brother will live again. He'll rise again. And they said, yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. Watch this. And the last day. In the resurrection and the last day. Now, all you know this, but I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. The resurrection was not a place. The resurrection was a person. I am the resurrection. The Word of God is the resurrection. Jesus and the Word are one. The Word, if you get it in your life, it'll raise up anything that's dead. It gives life to the dead. And I'm telling you, if something looked dead in your life, put the Word on it. Because what the enemy uses to keep his work going is time. If he can keep you imprisoned by time, he can hold you. But if you can ever get in faith, faith overrides time. And when you speak faith, faith brings time to a halt. Faith tells time what to do. So what happens on the resurrection in the last day? Bodies will come back together. In the great resurrection, people who've been cremated, it doesn't make any difference. Well, is cremation scriptural? What? Hey, don't even deal with it. If somebody wants, don't hassle with them. If they want to be, that's all right. My point to you is, is that whether they be cremated or buried or whatever have you, they're going to come back together. They're going to come back together just as quick as they would if they were standing right here. Because the word is that powerful. It'll put every cell, every organ, everything. If he can create it in the beginning, he can create it again. Now you've got to see this, because there is nothing too hard for God. And you've got to get the God factor down in here. If anything looks like it's dead, put the word on it. I said put the word on it. I got a scripture for you. Go with me here. Praise God. Let's go. Oh, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's go to Job, please. And I think it's Job chapter 16. Job chapter 14. Let me know when you get there. I said, let me know when you get there. Look at verse 7. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will what? Sprout again. And that the tender branch thereof, what? Will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through a scent of water, it will do what? Bud again. Come on, and bring forth boughs like a plant. In other words, whatever is dead, if I ever pour a little water on it, the water represents the word of God. If I ever take the word and pour it on it, it will live again. When God asked the prophet, he said, son of man, can these dry bones live? The prophet, he couldn't know how to answer that, because that was impossible. He said, well, Lord, you know. He said, yeah, you know too. Speak to them bones. And he prophesied, and the ankle bone came together with the foot bone, and the hip bone. See, y'all sing all them songs at church. The hip bone came together with the backbone, and the backbone came together with the shoulder bone, and here's the word of the Lord. A drop of this. The doctor says something in your body is dead, won't function no more. Come on, put a little of this on there. Drop a little of this in there. Come on, somebody listen to me now. Just do it by faith. Just believe the word of God. So what happened? I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. In other words, wait, you don't need to wait till the last day. Use your faith and get him now. Then this is what he said. Jesus wept. For years, that was the only scripture I knew. Jesus wept. But he didn't weep because he was grieving. He wept because of the unbelief of people who supposed to know God. Then he said, roll away the stone. Now he's putting his whole ministry on the line. And that's what I preached on Wednesday night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I preached being under the influence. See, when you're really in faith, you don't possess it, it possesses you. The four source of faith affects your thinking. Yes. And gets you out of your mind. Yes, sir. To the point that you're under the influence.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Now you tell me anybody under the influence of being drunk, inebriated, soused, whatever you want to call it, they're drunk as a skunk, try to embarrass them. They'll look at you like you stole something. You can't. When you're under the influence of faith, you can't be embarrassed. And that's why many people don't move into the supernatural, because they're not yet under the influence. You got to keep drinking until you get drunk, until you get under the influence. Now, nobody can stop you from getting your inheritance. So self-conscious and so pretty and all your hair and walking all, you know, you ain't under the influence yet. But when you start staggering, oh yeah, something about to happen, buddy. Something about to happen. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, roll away the stone. The stone of tradition. The stone of unbelief. The stone of doubt. The stone of self-consciousness. Roll away the stone. Then he let it out. Lazarus! Well, he had to call him by name, because if he didn't say the name, everybody up in there, Lazarus, come forth! Well, can you imagine the power he released? He said, the things that I did shall you do too. Call it forth, money! Come in, you come in here. Came forth wrapped in grave clothes. That's a whole nother teacher. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Let me show you this. I showed you last time. I want to show you again. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. See, this lady came to me. I was preaching in Fort Worth, and she came. She was crying. She said, oh, Pastor, she said, you preach a message on miracles and so forth. She said, you know, I believe that we could really raise my brother from the dead, or what, uncle, whatever it was. She was crying, and Usher had stopped me in the hall. He said, this woman is persistent. She wants to talk to you. I said, okay. And I said, okay. I said, yes. I said, God can do that. She said, well, praise God. I need somebody to agree with me. I said, I'll agree with you. I said, now, where is he now? Is he in the hospital, in the morgue, or what? She said, no, he's been dead for 3 weeks. See that? And that's what happened to Moses in Numbers chapter 11. Moses, God said, Moses, I'm going to feed all of them meat. Tell them I'm I'm going to feed them meat not one day, 2 days, 5 days, a week. I'm going to feed them meat for a whole month. I'm going to feed them so much till it runs out of their nostrils. And he hit Moses' choke point. He hit the point where Moses had to catch his breath. Moses said, wait a minute now. Can all the fish of the sea be brought here to feed these people? Can the birds of the air be marshaled all together to feed them? In other words, there's no way out in this wilderness you're going to be able to take care of people on that level. There's no way between jobs when I'm searching for jobs, it's God going to be able to take care of me on this level. God said something. He said, is the Lord's hand wax short? I'm asking you right now, is there anything too hard for God? Folks, he'll do it for you. All he needs is a believer. All he needs is somebody that's willing to get drunk, get out of their mind, get willing to just... This is our time. We're not going to let this moment pass by. We can get miracles that will astound the world that the Bible hasn't even written about. All right. Let me close this. I'm preaching too hard. Look what it says. Look what it says in Matthew 27. Are you with me? Verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his what? Resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I know they were preaching the gospel. I'm talking about these relatives that have been dead for 8 years. Showed up on the doorstep preaching about Jesus. Don't tell me what God can't do. It's in the book. See, she kind of hit my choke point there for me. She said, no, he's been dead for 3 weeks. Well, wait a minute. So what? Tell you. You get under that influence, all things become possible. Well, here's what we're going to do. Let me just say this. I want to drift on into this place next time of entering into a strong man's house.
Yes, sir. Here we go. Yes, sir.
Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 3.
All right.
The devil is a liar. See, if you hear his word like you're supposed to hear, you'll get under the influence. Next thing you know, you'll be speaking to all kinds of stuff. Speaking to your pocketbook, speaking to them kids running out trying to act. Oh boy, you start speaking. Because you don't care who hears you. Roll away the stone. Be willing to put your ministry on the line. We're going to see a miracle here that no man can manufacture. So when it happens, you won't have any doubt as to whether Jesus is Lord. Verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. And then he will spoil his house. So what am I saying? that there is a strong man. And I just want to show you one scripture, because here's a principle of dealing with a strong man that I want to show you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Y'all had me preaching today harder than I preached in a long time. I guess I must have got under the influence. This is David now coming, and Goliath now is up there facing the children of Israel. Goliath is a Philistine giant. Look what happens. This is a principle. Verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And you servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, this is a principle. We're going to deal with some of this next time. Because Satan is highly organized. He has different levels and ranks. And we'll start in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about that you and I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? Principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible says in the Amplified, we're not contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, and against master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. We're not going against an intellectual devil. So what am I saying? Here's a principle. Jesus never dealt with privates. He dealt with generals. And the thing of dealing with privates is, once you get done battling one private, the general will send another private up there. But if you ever get the strong man, if you ever cut Goliath's head off, the other demons will run. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. We're going to cut the head off of that devil on your finances. Come on that healing that's supposed to come in your body, on that marriage. Them devils been trying to break up your marriage. We're going to cut the head off the strong man so you won't have to fight no more. Did you get something out of that? Give the Lord a praise for it. Then give the Lord